Listen, I don't want to cause trouble right off the bat, but you know, I don't really like people.
Well, it's evident. I know from knowing you for so many years.
Because I don't even really like you, and exactly. I'm not super comfortable in situations where there are more people around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, I've noticed that. Yeah,
but you know, it is the new year after all.
Uh-oh. Are we getting to a resolution here?
Well, I don't. You know, I don't know that I want to say resolution, but I feel like I should make more of an effort to be inclusive to someone other than you, which is only barely as it is.
You know what? I'm so glad because this is an intervention call. This is actually an intervention call today, Jared.
Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, there's an intervention happening here. And I'm not sure if you've looked on the screen, but we have some other people here with us.
I don't even like to look at you. You know that.
That's true. Usually do the podcast with your eyes closed, if I recall from doing this with you.
Usually closed. Yeah, they're usually pretty close. Yeah.
Sometimes blindfolded. It depends how.
It depends on that day. We don't have to talk about that now, but later.
Well, this is a perfect entree into what today is. We got some special, special, special guests today. I did it three times.
You had to say it three times. Tell us about our special guests.
Well, let me go back a step to say that you guys probably, you know, dug into our recent 3121 episode for the pod, but on our Facebook page, which everyone is welcome to come and chat away because we love having conversations on that forum. Some bold listeners stepped up and said, "Hey, we love that 3121 album. Why don't we come on and talk about it?" And I was like, "Okay, guys, you want to make
Are you telling me that our pod is being usurped?
It's being usurped.
Usurped right now. You are being usurped right now.
People are usurping this podcast.
They're usurping the pod right now.
But I couldn't ask. Listen, Jared, I couldn't ask for three better people to come on and talk to us about 3121.
That's very true.
So, guys, you probably met some of these folks. We've had interviews with these guys separately on one-on-ones. There's so much Prince fandom power on this one call.
It's overwhelming. There's a blue shimmer, purple shimmer just everywhere.
Let's get there. I know this is a super long intro, but we do that. So let's go. I'm not sure if in particular. We got Sam joining us today. Hey,
Uncle Sam.
Hey, guys. Before we get started here real quick, we have to do an ad read. So this episode is brought to you by Bose. Listen to your favorite podcast like this one with the finest in noise-canceling headphones. Bose, the world is listening.
Thank you, Sam, for that.
I like someone who comes prepared with their own bit. That's good.
That's good, Sam. And I will tell you, I'm proud to announce that we just recently were notified by Buzzsprout, who hosts our podcast, that we were just paid 3 cents.
3 cents.
The latest ad that was run. I'm not sure what that ad was. You guys can tell us because I haven't heard one of the ads yet.
It was for some other podcast, which I'm sure we wholly endorse.
Oh, my God. Openly and wholly. Sure. Yes. Sure. All right. Wow. So, Sam, thanks for that little plug for Bose.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Great to see you again.
Yeah. First time I'm meeting you, Sam. So great to meet you in person. And let's move over to, we'll go latest time zone last. We'll go to Bonnie. Bonnie, welcome back to When Doves Podcast. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me back. It's finally great to meet Jared.
Bonnie, finally. Ed has conspired all this time to keep us apart because he jealously keeps you for himself.
But now
we have overcome that and we're finally together.
Yeah. Besties for life now, Jared.
Besties for life.
I'm a little possessive of the folks that I interview. So this is me growing and evolving.
That's your resolution.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, I'm going to kill it and just probably a day will be over. But anyway, but last but certainly not least, and we were just joking about this, we have wonderful Steph back again, who's joined us from the Netherlands. Steph, how you doing?
Yeah, great. Yeah. And it's an honor to be here. And nice to meet Jared, Bonnie, and Sam. Yeah.
Great to see you. Very nice to meet you. I'm not so sure it's an honor, but I appreciate that platitude. Generosity of spirit.
I consider it an honor.
The Dutch spirit always shining through.
Yeah. Well, it's so great to have all of us on the pod today. Really looking forward to talking to the three of you guys about 3121. We just did the review of it. And, you know, as we typically do when Jared and I start talking about it, I thought maybe we could kick around your memories of like if you remember this coming out, this album actually being released, and what your thoughts were about that initial release and that initial listen. If you guys want to maybe start, let's start with Bonnie just randomly. If you have any.
Okay. I remember first seeing Prince do Fury on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, I have to have this album.
Yes.
It's incredible. But I guess my biggest memory of listening to this nonstop in my car on CD. My came out in 2006. So my youngest would have been four. And I just remember driving back and forth to preschool stuff, taking in, dropping off. And he loved 3121. So we just sang that song a lot. Like he knew the words by heart. Nice.
Very cool. So you were in love with it from when you first saw him on Saturday Night Live doing Fury.
Yes.
Well, you got to get it. Cool. How about you, Steph? Do you remember this one getting released?
Yeah. The first thing I remember was the video for Te Amo Corazon that was played a lot. And after that, I saw the video from Fury and I knew I had to get this album. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Sam?
Yeah, I remember there was a lot of anticipation for this album because it was like the follow up to his return to, you know, his comeback, I guess, in the mainstream and, you know, in pop culture. So a lot of anticipation for this. I remember, like Steph said, the Te Amo Corazon coming out, the video on, it was played a lot. And I remember being kind of like, okay, underwhelmed, but then he quickly followed that up with, Black Sweat. Mm. And it was like, oh yeah, he's back. And that got so much airplay and it was good to hear that. I mean, because as much as we love his music, you know, and, you know, he really would say he wasn't doing it for, you know, he wasn't doing it for the critics or, you know, for the worldwide. He just did it because he loved playing music. We as fans love to see him get his flowers, as they say, from the, you know, pop culture from people. And so that was great to hear. And then, yeah, from there, it was just so much anticipation for when the album came out. And he really heavily promoted this album. He played on a lot of award shows, I remember. SNL, he did. He did American Idol. I remember him doing American Idol.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
I do.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember, Sam, I was a little, I don't know why I got into this headspace. I was a little pissed at him. If you guys recall, it was live, right? It was a live broadcast of the finalists. They were going to like announce the finalists.
Yeah.
And who's this? What's that dude's name? Oh, Ryan Seacrest, right? Is that his? That's the guy.
Yeah.
He's there. Like, and you could see he was just buying time. I knew Prince was supposed to perform and he was like, hey, how about those performers? Like he kept trying to get the audience going because Prince was late showing up late to this. Like he should have late for his performance and like went directly from the entrance to the stage. There was no backstage waiting at all.
And afterwards he went directly to his car and left.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I remember right after he just kind of walked out right past Ryan.
Super Prince there. And I was like, I got to such a weird place. I was like, if you've agreed to come, you should be there on time, not stress the show. I don't know why I was defending Idol. I never watched Idol really, except for when Prince performed that night. But I was like, you got to show up on time and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But,
and that was when Idol, that was American Idol. That was when it was at its peak performance. So he had just, like I said, was heavily promoting the album and that was the place, you know, if you were promoting something and he did a couple songs from the album. I was excited to see what those were going to be. I was hoping to hear, you know, certain ones, but still the crowd seemed to really have a good time.
No, absolutely. And listen, I am not the right barometer for this because I also remember someone saying to me years before this album got released, like, do you think Prince will play the Super Bowl? I'm like, he's never going to play the Super Bowl. That's beneath him. Why would he play the Super Bowl?
That's beneath him.
So
snob you are.
Yeah, right. I'm a super Prince snob. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask this question, everybody. I'd be curious about this. Why is it, do you think that, I mean, I know this is a big question, so you can give a general answer, but why do you think that in this sort of very concerted effort by Prince to make a commercial comeback, right? We had Musicology, then we had 3121. Why do you feel like 3121 spoke to you more and seems to speak to a lot of Prince fans more than Musicology does? Can you speak to that? Anybody can throw it out an answer to that at any time.
I just feel like the album really does, Prince did what he does best. He takes you from the dance floor to the bedroom and then to church the next morning, you know? So I just felt like every single song just hit what I love most about him. I thought it was interesting. Some of them, it was very synth heavy and I really like that. So a lot of great dance tracks. some slow jams that are awesome. So I just love the whole mix of everything.
Mm-hmm. When I compare Musicology and 3121, I think Musicology was his way of trying to be commercial, too commercial. Instead of 3121, he was just trying to make a very good album. Mm. I think by Musicology, he was trying too hard.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. How about you, Sam? What do you feel about that question?
Yeah, I just feel like there's just so many bangers on this one, you know, in comparison to Musicology. While it has hits, you know, some hits and misses, I feel like this is, for the most part, hits. I mean, it's just, you know, like, and I love what Bonnie just said about going from the dance floor to the bedroom to church, you know, such a wide spectrum. But yeah, it's just, there's some really great, just melodies and hooks in there. And it's just songs that really just stay in your head. And it's one that I return to quite often.
Yeah, and for me, Jared, like, if I could add a look, like, I think he's with this album, unlike Musicology, this is kind of highlighting Steph's point. I think Musicology felt like a calculator, like I'm going to do something that's a little more easy to swallow for the mass public, for the general public. Here he's being a little more experimental. Listen to 3121 and his layered, those different sounding pitched vocals, right? Mm-hmm. And it's nasty funky. Like, I have a sweet spot for his funk. And right. I can't, there's, you know, Musicology, the track is funky, but like this one has some nasty, dirty funk in it. Like that and Black Sweat, like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That is almost like industrial. Like it's such, I mean, it's such a Prince track. And it's like, you know, we talked about the on the 3121 pod that you and I did, Jared. Like it's hard not to compare it to Kiss, the way it's structured and the way it's laid out. But still, like, it has its own uniqueness. And then there's that high synth in it. And it's like, the drums are dirty on it. It's just like, it's that kind of dirty Prince that I think a lot of us musically dirty, not necessarily just the content's dirty, but like that filthy, funky sound is really present in a number of these tracks. We're like, this is some of his funkiest tracks I've heard in a long, long, long time. And that made you think, wow, like it was a breath of fresh air for me as a fan. Cause I thought he's really dialing up the experimentation a bit, where I wasn't hearing that in Musicology. It was a little more, it felt a little safe. Let's put it that way.
Musical. Ed, do you feel like it's okay for you to talk so much when there's so many guests here?
I mean, like, I was just joining as another fan.
I mean, it's a little rude, right?
I don't know. Would you guys
be rude in front of that guest?
Should I not speak as much? Well, listen, give me like a signal, like if I'm
talking. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm just sorry, everybody. That
and I think he's also it's also a very funny album.
Tell us why you think it's funny. Talk about that stuff. Let's expand on that.
The song Lolita, I think, is a very funny song. And I think he's little stabbing at Justin Timberlake, in my opinion.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Especially interesting. The song Senoritas. I think there's a similarity between those two. And in Black Sweat, in 3 seconds, you'll be screaming like a white lady. And then you hear the high pitched. I think it's very funny. Yeah.
He did have a spectacular sense of humor, which really creeps out through all of his records. I have a question that's super specific, though. So I like 3121 a lot, too. I think it's a great record. But I struggle, as Ed knows, with that auto tune on Incense and Candles. Does that bother anybody else? Or am I the only person that it bothers? It bothers me a lot.
Just you. Go ahead. You guys can talk.
It could be just me.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. Well, I mean, I guess he was one of the first to use. I guess this album was one of the first to utilize it. But its use, I don't think it's overused. I think it's got a nice. It adds a nice little layer, like Ed was saying earlier, to, you know, all the different layers to some of these songs. It doesn't come off as irritating to me. Whereas I know that some of the songs, not his songs, but some of the songs, once auto-tune took off, it was just like, oh gosh, like they're reliant on it. But I think it adds an interesting layer personally to me.
I would like to know what you think about the rap part in Incense and Candles. Yeah.
What do I think about it? Well, we all know I'm not a fan of it. Here's what I think. And you guys, you'll see this when you listen to the 3121 review. I really dislike the auto tune to the point where it distracts me from the rest of the song. I think that, you know, here we have really one of the great vocalists of all time. And he's choosing to distort his voice for the sake of a technical gimmick. a technological gimmick, and that really bothers me. So I think that Incense and Candles would probably be a pretty good soul song, if not for the auto-tune. And then as to your point, Bonnie, as a result of that, I sort of don't even hear the rap because I'm so focused on the auto-tune, which goes into my ears like daggers. That's me.
Yeah. Well, I love that it speaks towards that experimentation part. You know, he knows that what he can do, and he knows that it's a great song, but he's going to give you a little, you know, this is new. This isn't, you know, a lot of people aren't doing it yet. And again, it's kind of like he's on the cutting edge of what's, you know, what's to come. And obviously he was there again with the auto tune.
Can I add three sentences, Jared, or will you get upset if I
talk? No, go ahead. Yeah.
So no, I'm with Sam too. Like, I think we talked about this when we did our review. It's not like he used it. Thank God. If he were to use it for several songs on the album, I'd have been like, come on, man. Like, that's too much. But like, yeah. it makes him sound dare as compared to Musicology. It makes him, dare I say, sound modern of its time. Like having that, using the technology that's fresh in the moment, to me was like, why not give that a shot? And again, it's not by far not my favorite song on the album, but it's not so like where you are, like you were going to walk off the podcast because we were talking about Incense and Candles. Like, it's not that severe. You're like, I'm not going to listen to any more Prince music now at this point.
That's true. No, that's true. So let's, in our little roundtable discussion here, let's go around the horn, as they say, and let's hear everyone's favorite track on 3121 and why. How about Steph? Let's start with you. What's your favorite track on 3121 and why?
The Word.
The Word. Interesting. Yeah. Tell us about that. Why The Word?
It starts off with this. I think it's a sort of drum, a bass drum, and then the guitar comes in, and at the end there's a brilliant Carlos Santana like guitar solo, and I think the whole song has got nice flow beat to it. That's the song I put on repeat many, many times. Yeah. I really like that song.
Yeah. It's definitely a vibe. That is such a vibe, that song. And the way it builds.
I think I would go so far as maybe calling it his best song of the Zeros.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting.
That's a bold one. All right. That's a bold statement. Yeah.
Nice. I like a bold statement. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Bonnie, how about you? What would you say is your favorite track on 3121?
Absolutely, Black Sweat. I love it. It's such a dance groove. Like, it's so fun. The video is great. I really dig that song. I will play it on repeat. Love it.
And it just makes you want to move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right on. All right. Fair enough. Sam, Uncle Sam, what's your favorite?
Oh, Uncle Sam. Oh, okay. All right. I knew we were going to be asked this question, and I went back and forth with this one. It was between Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed and Get on the Boat. And I settled on Get on the Boat. It is just such an all out jam. And I mean, as you would say, Jared, give me those horns. My God.
It is awesome.
Undeniable. Yeah. In what it attempts to do and what it accomplishes. He went out and he did that is all you can say. And he performed it, as we were talking earlier about, he did it on the, we were talking about the Super Bowl, but the, the press conference.
Oh, he did Leno, the press too, conference. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a great press conference. The performance at the halftime was iconic, but do you guys remember the press conference where he went up there and said, are there any questions? And then as soon as someone asked a question, they just ripped into, I think it was Johnny B. Goode, and then he did Another Lover, and then he did Get on the Boat, and then he did Get on the Boat on another big show. I want to say Good Morning America or something, but that song is just, it's undeniable.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Ed, lead us through the next category.
Yeah, why don't we go through the next? So hate to bring in the negativity, but I'm just curious. Sometimes this is always our biggest effort or challenge is to pick our least favorite track on an album. Don't be influenced by Jared's... Talk about auto tuning, for God's sake. I have to hear that conversation again. So let's go. Bonnie, if you was one song that you're like, oh, is this one probably could get removed from the album? Like, what would you pick? Well, you had to do it.
I had to do it. I was going to say, I usually do not, to. Yeah, I usually don't skip any songs on this album because I really do like them all. And so it was really hard to come up with one, but I'm going to go Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed. And I love Positive Affirmation.
Oh, no, poor Sam.
Look at how heartbroken Sam is. He's heartbroken.
I'm so sorry. I knew this was going to happen, no matter what I picked.
But, that hurts my heart.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
He'll get over it. He'll get over it. Tell us why, if you had to, Bonnie, why is that the one?
I don't know. It just, it feels like I've heard these types of songs before. It just, I don't know. It didn't jump out at me, basically. I like the lyrics to it. I think the vocals are beautiful, but it wasn't a standout for me.
Do you think, Bonnie, do you think maybe it's because Tamar is so featured in that track? Is that maybe why?
Probably. Maybe that's it. Wow. I love her voice. I think it's beautiful, but I don't know. It just wasn't standout for me. So
yeah,
you're entitled to that opinion, Bonnie. And I say,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Don't be bullied by Sam. Sam's a bully. Right? Don't be threatened by Sam.
How about you, Steph?
Sorry, Sam, but I have to go for the same song.
No. Oh,
Beautiful, wow. Left and Blessed. Oh,
controversy. I love it.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Steph, tell us why you feel that way. Is it also
Tamar? I got to turn my hat backwards. Yeah.
Too many Tamar and too little Prince. Yeah.
Fair enough.
And in my opinion, it's the most, simple. Yeah, no, I don't know how to say it. But it doesn't do it for me. No.
That's fair.
Wow. I can't wait to hear what Ed and Jared, what you had to say on the podcast about it. Because that actually shocks me. Because to me, that's one of his top duets. And as far as I feel like that could have actually been released as a single and done really well. But. Yeah, you know. Anyway,
well,
my turn.
What we can do is we'll set up a special pod for you to defend.
Yeah.
Loved and Blessed. It'll just be a solo pod for you.
And what we'll do is we'll pick 12 random fans as a jury, and you can present your case. And there'll be a verdict handed back, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. We're back to sleep around territory, right?
Over the sleep around thing.
Yeah, don't even get me started. Sam, if you had to pick, though, if you had to bump one off the island, what would it be if you had to?
Yeah, I alluded to it earlier, Te Amo Corazon. It doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I love that song.
Tell us why, Sam.
Why doesn't it do it for you?
He has so many better ballads. I don't know, the way it doesn't come off as genuine. Some of the lyrics are kind of cringy for me. It just doesn't work. And just for his leading single, it baffles me that was his leading single for this album, you know, whereas the rest of the album, it's nothing like that, you know? So, which is why I'm glad he followed it up quickly with Black Sweat. That would be the one. So if you guys like that one, yeah, that's not it for me.
Well, you've got a partner in crime there, because Ed Miller also does not, he's not a fan of Te Amo Corazon.
Sam, I will say this to your what you just described. C.
I remember when it
you
came
guys
out.
Know the album, he's bilingual.
I'm bilingual. I can say yes in a couple languages.
When the album came out and I was trying to get some of my coworkers to listen to it, that's the one I would skip and be like, no, you know, here's Black Sweat, you know. So that one just never did it for me. So I'm sorry if you guys like that one. But I guess that's payback for you guys not liking
All good.
Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed.
Can I pause before we move on to the next question? Because this is something I wanted to ask. You guys recall, and this is something we forgot to talk about, Jared, when we talked about 3121, there was a promotion that Prince had put Willy Wonka-ish gold tickets in his CDs. You guys remember this?
Mm-hmm. No, you mentioned it? Yeah.
And I remember, I don't know if you guys, I didn't buy like 7 CDs because I was like trying to find his gold ticket. But I just was wondering if you guys were aware of it, because the winners got to go out to California to his house out there and go to his house parties.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting that, hoping for my golden ticket. Here is my, I'm holding here my CD, and remember opening it, and no golden ticket. So sad.
No, I would have loved that one of you guys had happened to win that.
We'll have to track whoever won those down. We should get them on a
round. Yeah, we'll have to post something if we find that person's out there somewhere, one of those people.
Everybody, what do you think is the most interesting track on 3121, musically, dynamically, lyrically, whatever it might be? What is the most interesting track to you? Let's go with Sam. We'll start with Sam this time.
Oh, I would say the dance for sure. That is just such an interesting.
Yeah.
It's uncategorizable what it is, but it's so beautiful. But definitely that's the one that stands out to me is just, it's the most interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed and I feel the same way about the dance. How about you, Steph? What do you think?
The title song, 3121. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And tell us about that.
Well, a critic in Holland said it builds up like a cathedral. And I can't describe it any better than he does. So, the song starts real simple, and then it just expands. And I think it's such a majestic song. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I dig on 3121.
Yep. Yeah.
Bonnie, how about you? What's the most interesting track?
Get on the boat. I love it. Like,
get on the boat.
The horns. It's just so funky.
Yeah.
It makes me want, I wish the song was, 30 minutes long. Like, I want to be like in that crowd of people and I want to be on that boat.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that boat probably be a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ed, what next?
If folks have, I know we're trying to follow somewhat of the format that Jared and I usually follow. So I think typically at this point we would talk about, top musical moment. Oh, you have something?
Go ahead, Steph. Steph's got something. Go, Steph.
Steph.
Yeah, I'm going back to the song, The Word, the guitar solo at the end of The Word. Think that's brilliant. I can listen to it over and over and over again. Yeah.
That's a great moment. It's a great moment of the album for sure.
So let me ask this. Let's do it this way. If I was to ask the three of you to give your Prince symbol rating, how many Prince symbols out of 5 do you give 3121?
Wow.
Bonnie, how many do you give it?
I'm going a solid 5. This album is in my top 5 favorite Prince albums of all time.
All right, we're gonna come back and talk about that. Excellent. All right, Bonnie gives it a 5. Sam, how many Prince symbols do you give it?
I'm going 4.
Solid 4?
I'm going 4. I think Sign of the Times is that 5, but this is like just below it. You know, I think having a couple songs on there, and I won't mention them because I know that, they're but, a couple songs I would maybe... but other than that, there's just so many bangers on this. Yeah, we're going 4.
All right. A solid 4 from Sam and Steph. How many Prince symbols would you give 3121 out of 5? Don't be influenced by Bonnie. Look at Bonnie.
Was Bonnie influencing?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Silent 5.
I'm going 4.5. Is that okay?
4.5 is more than okay.
With the difference.
Yeah.
We'll have to round we'll round that down to 4 then.
Yeah. Although the funny thing is when always listening to this album, I think this has got to be in my top 10 albums of Prince. But when I actually make it, I don't put it on.
Oh, that's interesting.
The strangest thing.
Oh, that is interesting. So it actually falls out of the top 10.
Yeah. But I don't know why.
I wonder if Steph, if it is, because I feel like I would be in the same boat you are with that. And I wonder if it's because you start to go chronologically through his albums and think of the top.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I'm already at number 12. I'm only in 1991.
But Bonnie, you think that this one makes your top 5, this album?
I think it does. I've listened to this. Sign of the Times, number 1 album. And yes, I will give it it's not as great as Sign of the Times. That's epic. So maybe I was a little too strong with my 5, but I just love it so much. I hate to backtrack
No, you're fine.
It's 1A and 1B, right? I mean,
right? Yeah. I love it. I've listened to it so many times.
Bonnie, if I put you on the spot, could you quick rattle off your top 5 for us? I know it can change.
I know it changes so much, but I would probably say
in any order. It could be in any order.
Okay. Sign of the Times and Purple Rain, definitely top 2. And then I would probably Dirty Mind. I love Dirty Mind. and then it's so hard to pick. You're putting me on the spot. Well, obviously at 3121 and Parade perhaps. I don't know. That one's kind of parade.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm with you there, having parade up there towards the top.
Parade's pretty great.
Yeah.
Let me ask you maybe a provocative, hopefully a fun question. Given the, seems like the general love for 3121, there's also love for musicology. If you could go back in time and you were heading Prince's tour, you're Prince's tour manager, would you have preferred Prince to tour more broadly with this album versus musicology? The musicology tour was the tour and this was fine. Like this, I sometimes think about that in my own mind, like the strength of this album and a tour like musicology behind this album. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think he should have toured this album. I mean, this is like we were just discussing. There's so much, and like, you know, we had our minor disagreements, but there's something for everyone on this album. So we're definitely, why couldn't he do a tour for both of them? You know,
that's such an easier conversation to have.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. It is interesting because, like, now everyone, correct me if I'm wrong about this. Am I wrong about this? So he did the musicology.
Probably yes, Jared.
Did the musicology tour. Am I right in thinking the next major, like big multi-city tour was the Welcome to America tour?
I think so. Yeah.
It is an interesting question. Like, you'd think after that Super Bowl performance, he could have booked a huge tour, right?
He did the 21 nights at London for 3121.
That's right. He did the 21 nights
in London. And he did a residency in Vegas for 3121.
Yep. Right.
Yep. So he was doing that type of stuff. And listen, he may have made as much money on that Super Bowl appearance as he did for the whole musicology tour, for all we know. Like, I don't know what he was paid to do that performance, but I'm sure it wasn't a couple thousand dollars.
No, it's true. And I mean, those residencies are, you know, they have their own unique quality, but he could have had a huge world tour on the back of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to do another quick read. This episode is brought to you by the Baby Boxing League. When your child is ready to step it up, the BBL is where it's at.
Do we want to talk about the album cover, Jared? Maybe
let's talk about the album cover. So, guys, as you all know, because you've been listening, you know, we feel, Ed and I feel as though, with the exception of Rainbow Children, the 2000s on album covers, we don't think too much of. We think that they haven't had a lot of consideration. They haven't had a lot of style, a lot of design, nothing that's really grabbing your attention. What do you three make of the cover to 3121? How about you, Bonnie? Let's start with you.
Not really a fan. I'm kind of curious if this is his Japanese robe that he's wearing that he speaks of in the song 3121. It kind of, you know, I have the, you know, I'm showing you now, like, is he wearing sandals with this? I'm not really sure. I can't see that far down, but I'm not really a huge fan of the cover.
Yeah. Steph, how about you? What do you make of the cover art?
No, also not a big fan. I like the orange color, but yeah, the least thing you can say is he tried harder than all the other CD covers.
But however much harder it was, it might be marginal, but he tried a little bit harder.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it looks like he put some thought into this one, and we discussed this before, where, you know, a wide array of his albums, you wish he put a little more effort into him. But again, it does fall short. But I agree with Steph. I love the color, just the, what he was going for with that. But just the, you know, how it was set up, maybe wasn't the best. But, you know, album's great. So I guess it makes up for it.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought was really fascinating, because I also have it on vinyl, but the CD actually came with a whole booklet filled with pictures where the album doesn't really have any of that. Like it opens up to showing the outside of the 3121 house in Los Angeles, but like the CD actually came with like a full color little booklet that had several pictures in it.
That is interesting. Sam, you do the vocal intro to a question for you.
Okay. And then you'll auto-tune it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For you, my friend.
All right. A question for you.
To the question of you.
Very good. All right. Question for you, Steph.
Yes. Ti Amo Corazon came with a video clip, but who directed the video clip?
Excellent. There it is. That's this week's question for you. And folks, if you get it right, Steph will host you in the Netherlands. You can come stay with Steph. He's got two copies of the Prince All the Songs Bible in Dutch and in English. You can read both of them while you're there.
Yes.
Oh, man. Do Bonnie and I get to go? Do we get to go as well?
You're welcome.
Oh, that's sweet. Let's get on the boat.
Get on the boat. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, take a boat over. That would be nice.
It all came around. Awesome.
That would be nice. Let me ask this question, guys. So as we are moving forward, we're coming up to the 2010s. What are the albums? What are the moments? What are the things that you're most excited to hear Ed and I talk about? Or, you know, what are the albums that really get you jazzed up going forward? Something you really, really like, but maybe something that you think is difficult, challenging, something you think maybe isn't so good, but you want to hear a take on it. What are you looking forward to as we advance through the rest of the discography?
I'm very curious what you're going to say about the albums Hit and Run Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah, we're curious about that too.
I can imagine.
Lotus Flower. I like the album Lotus Flower. Yeah. So I'm curious to hear you guys talk about that.
We're going to talk about Lotus Flower. How about you, Sam? Something you're excited to hear us talk about?
Yeah, Artificial Age is something I've come on to recently. Yeah. I think there's some really nice little tracks there. And a lot of people that his later stuff, they kind of dropped off with. I've revisited that one recently, and it's in heavy rotation right now.
Ooh, all right. All right. Very good. Well, all those things will be coming up.
One thing that Jared and I are serious about, I think we mentioned this maybe on one of the pods that we recently did, that we're trying to look to do a Prince weekend getaway in Philadelphia, like have a Prince show the films, have some like events planned, stuff like that.
We'll also have, in theory, we'll have some guest speakers. We'll have some, maybe a couple performers of different kinds. And Ed and I might record like a live episode of the pod in front of an audience, like that kind of a thing. So we're still trying to get all those ducks in a row. We were hoping maybe we would do it this summer, but I don't think that's going to happen. So it'll probably be the summer of 2024. So we'll keep we'll keep everybody informed, but that's something that we would do around his birthday, right? Which is June 7th. So somewhere.
Yeah.
Around. So guys, before we end this episode, this very special episode of When Doves Podcast, where Ed and I, first of all, we're so grateful that the three of you are here with us and being such devoted listeners. And we're very, never doubt how appreciative we are.
Honored.
That's actually true. We are honored. So before we go, just give us one more quick, overall impression of why you love 3121, why it matters to you, and why you think people should listen to it. How about Sam, you go first.
Yeah. And again, thank you guys for having us on the show and, for doing this and giving us this platform to share our love for Prince with the world. This, like, as I said earlier, this was his follow-up to his, Return to Glory. And there's so many, like I said, bangers on this album. And for those who, were waiting for him to go through that. Some say it was a funk, but it was, they had really heard him. It's nice for him to get that love just from the general public. It feels really good as a fan to get that reassurance that, this, even though he's great, but to get it from the masses, it's a good feeling. And so, that's kind of sticks out to me with this album.
Bonnie, what do you think, Bonnie?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a great album. If you have not heard this album, listen to it. There's so many things that you'll love about it. Between, just the slow jams are great, the dance songs are great. Everything that you love about Prince, you're going to hear on this record.
Awesome. Steph, how about you? Wrap us up on this album, 3121. Why does it matter? Why should people listen to it?
the last couple of albums, there was always a kind of enthusiasm when I heard there was a new Prince album coming. But the last albums, when I listened to it, I had the feeling, meh. But this album, that when I listened to it for the first time, I think I put it on repeat about 10, 15 times. It's such a brilliant album. Yeah. And that's why, yeah, he didn't lose his magic touch. So,
agreed. Yeah. Yep.
That's all right. Well said. Well said.
Shall I give the strange faction figures?
Oh, yes.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Sam, do you want to sing us in for Strange?
Sam, go ahead. This is your chance to do the facts and figures. Go ahead.
Hey, Steph, hit us with that. Facts and figures.
It's something I heard, but after Prince died in 2016, the most played song was, of course, Sometimes It Snows in April. That song was recorded on the 21st of April of 1985. And exactly 31 years later, he died on the 21st April of 2016. So you've got 31-21. And that's the album we're discussing today.
Whoa. Oh, my head just exploded.
Whoa, hold up.
I feel like that Dr. Phil meme where he's just like, whoa, falling back and down.
wait, that's some creepy numerology stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Wow.
I was right. I don't even know.
And you know, I said this before, I think. April 21st is my dad's birthday, too. That's my father's birthday.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's odd, like Jared's ranked 3,121st actor in Philadelphia. So this is all, it's like full circle stuff going on.
Blew my mind. Yeah. This episode needs to have a disclaimer now, thanks to Steph. Like, this episode will blow your mind.
It might freak you out. You might get a little freaked out.
It is. Yeah. That's really
Steph, that's a good, Steph, great, that's an all time fact and figure. That's very good. That's good. Well, that's an all timer.
Yeah.
I love it.
Woo.
Wow. Well, with that being said, Ed, I don't even know what to say after that. Articulate as always, folks. He's the best man in the business, and that's why.
That's right.
I want to say again how grateful Ed and I are to our good friends, Bonnie and Sam and Steph, for joining us on this special roundtable edition of When Doves Podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. It was so... I'm going to get emotional, but I love how we're meeting these great people like you guys. And I love that we keep getting a chance to talk to you more than once. It's great. And thanks for listening so much. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. We're very grateful. And so with that all being said, Bonnie, Steph, Sam, do you want to sign us off on this episode of When Doves Podcast? You know what it is.
May you live
to see the dawn.
That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, bye, guys. You guys rock.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.